still have it on here. I
looked at it a bit on that Poly experience. It seems to be that large corporations, when the employee designer like yourself was progressive and innovative and creative, they almost seem to be dragging their feet.
Yeah, they seem to drag their feet. They're unsure of themselves. Like in this case of Holly, they've been building carburetors for years and years, all the way back to the early Ford days. And now they're the new age is fuel injection, and they've developed a throttle body injector system, which would replace the Rochester unit that's on the 2.5 GM four-cylinder engine.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to do something. So normally they would do something for the small block Chevy or whichever is going to be the biggest unit in the aftermarket.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they're saying, well, they looked at their demographics and they're saying, well, they're, the numbers of these 2.5 engines in all the old the TMX body cars, the Fiero, also the engines is used in some of the small trucks.
Uh-huh.
It's the kind of the standard Iron Duke engine that's built by Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have this throttle body injector. And with the throttle body injector, I guess without a camshaft change, with the injector, the intake manifold, and an exhaust system, they can show right at 20% power increase,
mm-hmm.
and an 18 to 19% fuel economy increase.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're looking at a cost of somewhere around $600.
Of course, that stares me in the face right there.
Yeah, but it's seems to be going quite well. But they were very apprehensive about really bringing the product out. So I designed the air cleaner cover. They're saying, well, what can we do what can you do to make this throttle body injector more beautiful? I said, well, for point of purchase. So I looked at it and I said, well. They said, well, what do you think? I said, you can make it all black. I said, well, that's fine, but the minute that thing's just a few days old, it's going to look terrible.
Why is that?
So, well, because it'll get stained with gas and what have you. So why don't you just leave it, try to make it as shiny as you can, and then maybe you can make all the fittings black, and say for the point of purchase, when you look down in the throttle bore, it's all machined. And here you get this dull aluminum throttle plate. Put a bright anodized red throttle plate in there and it'll bounce with all the color on the inside and it'll look like a jewel.
Uh-huh.
So they finally agreed to that. And I said, well, the thing you really need to do is to make that air cleaner look better. And the engineers all threw up their hands and said, oh, that's too expensive. You know what it cost to remanufacture an air cleaner? I said, well, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, we just want to make it look better.
Yeah.
We don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Uh-huh.
So they said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, we're going to do a cover that just goes over the top of this cover. You remove the little round piece,
right.
That cover, and then this whole new cover goes in and replaces that part, but then it fits right over and it makes the whole thing look a lot better.
Uh-huh.
And then you can put the name Holly on the front and on the rear. So when you're looking in at a Fiero where the engine's turned around the other way, you can see Holly.
Mm-hmm.
When it's in a front drive car, you see the name Holly, and it looks all. And so I'm going to give you the high-tech air cleaner cover. And they said, well, what is it going to do for us? Well, it'll win you the best new product award at the SEMA show. And so they all looked at me and thought, well, of course, you need new packaging to go along with it. So I finally talked them into doing the product piece and the packaging. And then, of course, I expected to go right in and do all redo their V8 covers and everything else, and do the rocker covers, the whole line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all saying, yeah, they want to do that. But first off, this first bit of work they want to do is just this air cleaner cover and the other pieces for the 2.5 engine. So that was all done, and they still haven't got off their backsides to do the rest of the program. And everybody else is, you know, lining up to charge at them, and they're going to be sitting there in the water.
You can't.
Well, right now I can't. They might have some, you know, they might have to show that this thing's going to sell and it's going to, you know, it's going to do well before that their corporation will let them go forth and do the rest, but I don't think so. I think they're just a little scared to jump in and do things. Well, another program we did with Dana Corporation.
Yes. They're based in
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their headquarters are Toledo, Ohio, and they've got a sales office here in Southfield.
DNA, right?
Yes, right. And this was with their Spicer Axle division. They wanted to see this was in 1983, they wanted to see a Ranger Ford pickup truck with a wide dually axle for the dual wheel application.
Is this called dually?
Yeah, a wide dually.
D-U-A-L-Y.
D-U-A-L-L-Y.
L-L-Y.
Yeah. You know, like Chevrolet has they have a wide dually for their large pickup truck, and so does Ford, but nobody has one for the small pickup truck, the domestics.
Well, they're
just not for the rest of them.
Yeah.
Nissan had one for their small pickup, but it's just for a cab chassis, and Toyota has one, you know, offered last year. And finally, it's finally hitting home now that Ford realizes they have to have one. So. But I went ahead and built a truck for Dana, and we put the axle under it and swelled the rear fenders out. It looked quite nice. And Ford looked at it, and they just never, it wasn't invented there, so they didn't want to do anything.
So where did it finally end up?
So now it's Ford's running some tests on the Dana pickup truck again. This is like 3 years later. You know, it took them 3 years to realize they needed it.
The corporate minds of these automotive companies are often
incredible. Yeah, it really is.
They really hold back for the sake of a short-term
In 83, around Thanksgiving time, I got a call from Roger Penske, and that actually started a whole new area of business that I hadn't been done before, and he wanted an all-new streamlined truck to haul his transport his race cars.
Can you identify Roger Penske?
Yes, Roger Penske is he's an entrepreneur. He owns 50% of the Hertz Penske truck leasing. He has Penske Corporation has the Penske Speedway division that owns the Michigan International Speedway. They will own another speedway in Nazareth, Pennsylvania here shortly. And he's looked at purchasing Atlanta Speedway and some other speedways. But, yes. And then he has Penske Power, which handles the GM Detroit Diesel Allison engines and transmissions. It's a distributorship for New Jersey, Northern New Jersey, part of New York, metropolitan New York, parts of Pennsylvania. And then he has the Penske truck. He has a Hertz Penske leasing, plus then he has the Penske truck operations that service all the trucks that he leases. Yeah, and that's in Reading, Pennsylvania. And then he has another company that's called Penske Tank. He bought a company that builds stainless steel fuel tanks, tanker trucks, and what have you. That's another company, and he has a Penske display company that They have a whole group that take, race car models and show them at supermarkets and, displays and what have you.
Well, Pennzoil is one of his big sponsors, right?
Right.
Yeah. And how is that coming? Have they off the drawing board yet?
But the first truck was done. It was shown for the first time in '84 at Long Beach.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And then he had a second truck done the winter of '84-'85, and that was that truck was also shown at that was shown in Long Beach also for the first time. And,
have they been successful? Has he been selling?
No, he hasn't been selling. These are just strictly for his racing team.
For his, yes.
And he has a Penske, the fuel tanker, so his whole racing team consists of two transporters. So the race car transporter, which is the latest, newest. The test truck, which is a 83 model, redone.
Right.
And then he has a 86 model fuel truck. Fuel tanker that hauls the fuel for the race cars. And now he has the Penske coach, which is a converted Newell coach, remodified and all done in the same poly stainless motif as his other transporters. So that's a whole group of trucks that we're doing for him. And now I'm getting involved in doing a whole series of pieces for his lease fleet, which is quite large. The trucks that he leases, the lease and rental fleet.
Yeah.
And also he has a Penske Automotive, which Penske Automotive is made up of presently car dealerships.
Uh-huh.
He owns the world's largest Toyota dealership, which is Longo Toyota in El Monte, California. And then there's Roger Penske Cadillac in Downey, California. Another Roger Penske Cadillac in Menlo Park. And then there's the other Penske Automobiles, which is run by his son Greg, and it's in Bakersfield, California.
So they're doing very well.
Right. So he's I guess you'd say he's a multi-millionaire. He was a race car driver at one point in time. He's a very astute businessman. Well, he has two sons, and they're both in the business.
What about the Great Dane Trailer?
Yeah, the Great Dane Trailer. That's the trailer that the race cars are hauled in.
Okay.
And
the Freightliner.
Well, the Freightliner, that's the tractor manufacturer. On Penske's trucks, he's using Freightliners for the major, Freightliners for the tractors.
You're doing bodies, pretty much.
Yes, right.
Okay, he's getting components from other people.
Right. Of course, and I'm doing design work for Freightliner Corporation.
You are? What are you doing?
Yes. Well, we designed a series of, we designed some hoods and front fenders and other pieces. Now I'm doing some aerodynamic parts for them.
You were consulting your aerodynamic designs.
Right.
Freightliner? Yeah.
No. Well,
the one
truck that we did some consulting work with has been out. That's the one that that one is being built in North Carolina at Mount Holly. That's that's kind of the Freightliner. They call it the medium conventional.
Really?
And it's a German based cab, and the design is basically, it started out as a German design, hood and front fenders, and it was slightly modified. And we did the modifying for it. We really didn't do all the, we didn't really do the design work, but we did the modifying. We did some of the graphic support.
Is that an ongoing thing or?
No, right now that's kind of on hold.
Is it?
Right.
Problem money or?
No, I don't think it's really so much money. It's a real strong, not invented here attitude from the German people. So that, you know, that constantly raises its head. They get paranoid when some other designer touches any of their products.
Well, you're going to eventually get paid for that.
Oh no, we haven't paid.
Oh good. Of course, when it comes out, how much more you?
Well, right. Well, the truck is out, and unfortunately, it's not selling too well. So.
There's a remark here that you say you're not really concerned with who signs the check as long as you get paid.
Yeah, that's true, that too.
What was that?
Well, there was something there. They're asking the
conflict of interest.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. There isn't any. One company can't really. Okay, no, any one of these companies can come across and they can offer me if they offer me a contract that's good enough. Then in an exclusive contract, then I wouldn't do any work for anybody else. But none of them want to come out and give you a contract that's an exclusive contract, so they can't ask for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I've heard some designers say, well, that's that's not proper to work for three different people all that are engaged in a similar type of operations.
Keeping them apart.
Yeah.
So, what's your situation today? How's it
going? It looks good. Been doing all the design work for a new coach in Miami, Oklahoma.
E-double-L?
Right.
Where are they based?
They're based in Miami, Oklahoma.
What kind of cars?
Well, I do design work. I've done all their graphics, and I'm slowly doing their exterior. We will be doing a facelift for them probably next year. At present, we've done redesigned all their wheel openings and then all the trim on the outside of it. And we've helped on the interior. And the Penske coach was basically one of their units. So it was redone. And then
you steal from yourself.
Right. And then we're doing a. We've done an all-new coach for an all-new facelift for a coach company called Beaver Coach in Bend, Oregon.
In Bend, huh?
So that'll be that will be introduced at their Family Motor Coach Association show in Lexington, Kentucky, at the Lexington Horse Farm or whatever it is.
You have a variety of commissions. You obviously are still very well regarded in the industry, and that your reputation has preceded you. How long do you think you're going to be designing?
Well, probably going to be designing until the day I drop.
Good for you. Another 10 years, another 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I think so. It's you're only as old as you feel.
Why don't we take some time to ruminate about your sort of freeform? unless you have some work to add to that impressive list of present or current clients.
Right, well, the other client that he's been getting a lot of ink just recently, and we've helped him quite a bit. A fellow named Rick Hendricks. He's been touted as sort of the Roger Penske of the South.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he has
a racing tycoon.
Yeah, he's an automobile dealer tycoon. Right now he has about 17 to 20 car dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just recently written up in Business Week.
Huh.
And,
What's his name?
Rick Hendricks. I think he has a tremendous future. He's built up these dealerships, and along with the dealerships, he's also the largest Goodrich Performance Parts distributor.
Is he really? Does he?
Yeah, right. He distributes parts out of Sherman, and in the dealerships, he also owns a Kenworth truck company. Truck dealership, and so he's furnishing Kenworth tractors to most of the NASCAR teams. Well, I've done all his graphics, and his race cars, and his team uniforms, and the helmets, and then he races a Chevrolet GTP car, which is a sports racing car that runs in the IMSA series. And then he runs two Chevrolets in the NASCAR Winston Cup Series. And he also runs a Camaro drag race car in the Pro Stock Series, which is probably the NHRA Pro Stock Champion. Or it has been. I think last year it was number two. And this year I think he's leading the standings. At one point in time, Rick was a boat racer. He raced drag boats, the top fuel drag boats, over 200 miles an hour. And before he got hurt seriously, I guess he decided to quit. But he never got hurt. He quit before he got hurt. That's kind of, most people quit after they get hurt, but in this case, he quit before he got hurt. So. But, it goes to show he's got a little bit of sense.
Is that bringing you up pretty much current?
Pretty much current.
Any in the offing?
There are a lot of things in the offing that look good.
What sort of, without mentioning names, what sort of directions do they take?
Well, in this case, it's more towards a little more of an entrepreneurial type deal where I'll have some limited ownership in a couple different. Yeah, well, in this case, it's where we're looking at doing some business in the bus area. And also in looking at the next step in the limousine business.
What would you do for that?
Well, in this area, we'd be looking at doing a vehicle that would not be derived from scratching a passenger car. We'd do an all-new vehicle that would give the people, say if you were the man that has everything that can afford anything, he's not going to want to have a 40-foot stretch Cadillac that you crawl into and you wiggle around in like a snake. And can't turn the corners, we'll design him a nice 32 foot or so low, something like a limo, but it would be more in the area of a motor home that he can chauffeur driven, that he can entertain people and people can walk around in the unit as you're going down the freeway. You could carry a party of 12 and then have your chauffeur drop you off at the theater or wherever. Yeah, so you travel in comfort, you start your party off, and then travel in comfort and travel home in the same comfort. If you're climbing in and out of a limo, you're sitting in little jump seats and you're all jammed in there, and this way if you had to relieve yourself, you'd have a John and you'd have,
there's all the comforts.
All the comforts of home.
Does that look like it might go?
Yeah, I think so. Looking at doing some other areas, some other vehicles that would almost spring off the same type thing, but it would be more towards a commercial end, where you'd be looking at the next thing that's going to happen would be the portable fast food restaurants.
In fact, I've often wondered why they didn't have a fleet of cars.
Well, right now, Burger King's looking at it very seriously. In fact, they've got a couple test rigs out running that.
Do they?
Yeah, and they find that their the return on investment per unit is so much greater than building new restaurants. So they, you know, it's going to be kind of, they're looking at sort of the modern day cleaned up replacer of the Roach Coach.
Well, gosh, you've done almost everything, haven't you? Pretty much. Refurbishment, sprucing up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, and there's still things that are, you know, that are out there that have that need attention. And I don't know if I'm going to have time in my lifetime to do this.
Well, gosh, I was thinking you might set a free form. Think about your career, overall career, how you view it. How others have viewed it and still view it, and maybe sort of a bit about your personal design philosophy, if you could reduce it to a few sentences, that may not be easy to do, and maybe kind of, maybe people have asked, but basically, when a guy like you comes along who's done almost everything, and is not afraid to tackle almost any sensible, reasonable proposition, you must have built up over the years a certain kind of reserve that you could draw on in terms of how do I do this, why do I do this, and how do I do it well.
My personal design philosophy is look at it as carefully as you can and see where can it be improved. Is the improvement going to have to take a mechanical approach to make it better? And if so, then find out why it hasn't been done. The next thing is to try and keep it simple. And it's kind of like Henry Ford. Keep it simple, and of course he said keep it simple, keep it cheap. Well, if you keep it simple, it's going to be less expensive. And the whole thing is don't try and reinvent the wheel.
Improve
on the one you have and try and make it more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Mm-hmm. If it's pleasing to the eye and a person, you want to make the person think that he needs it. Mm-hmm. Not that he wants it, he needs it. And, you know, it's not that easy to do, but it's once in a while, you know, you can almost, like a good fisherman, he knows where to throw the hook, and it's, you know, in the design business, it's kind of the same way. And quite often, it's being at the right place at the right time. My timing over the years have been reasonably good, but then still there's a lot of things that I was just way, I was too early. I was ahead of my time.
And some instances of that.
Yeah, there's too many of them where I was ahead of my time. Where, and, in pushing the thing a little bit too hard, you can only push somebody just so far, and I've learned kind of, I've learned, and yet I haven't learned, but I still try and do it. You know, a client needs this product, and trying to figure out how to make them think it's their idea, and that's the most difficult. And there's masters that are a whole lot better than I am at making people think they need it.
Well, you had considerable success with GM and Ford, and your relationship with Bunky News. And is this still an ongoing relationship?
Yeah, I think so.
You have mutual respect.
Right. Well. Yeah, on an overall basis, you know, he's treated other people better than he's treated me. But when it comes right down to needing something, and he wants something to impress people with, he usually comes back to me, like this logo type for his new company. He's come to me and he said, "Well, can you show me something?" And he remembers the old Rectrans logo type.
Right, yeah, right. You remember that at all?
Oh, yes, I did all the designs.
That's what I thought. Yeah, right. That was gorgeous.
So he And it had a little vehicle that was shaped to look kind of like a motorhome or a house on wheels that had an arrow shape at the front, and that's, he can remember that part of it, and he wanted something like that, so I think we've come up, in this case, I'm real proud, I've asked my daughter to help me, and she came up with the right design. I gave her some guidelines, and she took my guidelines and made it come out better. So now, if he doesn't like it, I'm going to just have to tell him, I can't help you. You obviously have bad taste. If you don't like this design, you have bad taste.
Have you just had it off to Mr. Kuhn?
No, he hasn't seen it
yet. He hasn't seen it. What do you think you like?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't, well, I'm going to just tell him.
It's typically clean and
it's all clean. It's nice. It's just, it really is. It, you know, I just have to say my daughter going to ruin it.
Well, she deserves it.
Yeah.
Is she working with you now in the firm?
No, she works. No, she. This is a Moonlight job.
Oh, I see. She has her own business then. Yeah.
No, she works for Lupin Cotton Margulis.
Oh, yeah.
In New York.
Tell us a little bit about your daughter.
Well, my daughter, she went to Art Center College of Design, and
she got through that grueling regimen there. Yeah.
Well, it took her longer than normal because I had a, you know, right in the middle of the harvester. Disaster. I had to pull her out of school for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But she, she worked for GMAC for the year and a half, and then she hated the job because it was had to do with collections on bad accounts. And, well, this was dealer accounts.
Dealer,
so it was even worse. Yeah. And she got to learn overall how the dealers do all their tricks and
mm-hmm.
floating cars, and you know, it's pretty devastating. But she got back to the school and she finished, and she persevered and she went to New York and was determined to get a job. And
hers was in the graphics design.
Yeah. And she got the job with Lupin Cotton Margulis, and she's quite pleased. She's done a series for Sun Oil Company. She says, well, she hates to get categorized, but she's been kind of the gas station lady.
Oh,
she's
really?
She's been involved in the Sunoco, and then now Unocal, and now
yeah.
she's right in the middle of a thing for Arco Atlantic Richfield.
Mm-hmm. That kind of have a new logo. Right?
Yes, and then she was involved with her boss and some other people with the Chrysler account on their new logo type.
Really?
And,
which one is that?
It's going to be a new one to replace the Pentastar.
Really? Can you, this won't be heard for many, many months. Can you give us a sort of preview?
Yeah, she's, I'm not sure just exactly what it is, but they've got the program to do it. And one of the first things that they, she got the commission to do Lee Iacocca stationery.
Really?
So.
Now this is Karen Denise?
Right.
Your oldest girl?
Right.
Yeah. So this talented young lady, daughter, your eldest daughter, is Karen Denise, huh?
Right.
And she is, did you recall when she was younger that she was always interested in what you were doing?
Really not, yeah, she was, but she, she worked in the office for a while.
Did she?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
During summer breaks and what have you.
Uh-huh.
Well, she started, she went to Michigan State for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then she decided she wanted to go to Art Center, so we took her out of Michigan State, and then finally I lined it up and she went to Art Center.
Now, did she work under, who's the graphics that designed
it? I forget his name. I don't know the people. And,
yeah, uh-huh.
But
she did very well, obviously.
She did very well, and she, she was given sort of, wasn't given a job at this Walter Landor, but I guess he told her that he liked her work and everything. He couldn't offer a job right at the time that she graduated, but if she went to New York and spent 2 or 3 years in New York, he would guarantee her a job at his organization when she's ready.
Really?
All she has to do is call him.
Now,
he says, I guarantee
Walter Landor, is he one of the premier?
He's one of the premier on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, I see.
And he's up in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy that that set up his office. He was doing quite well. And, he finally felt he needed a gimmick.
Uh-huh.
And so he bought a ferry boat. and he put his office on a ferry boat.
Really? I've heard of that.
Yeah.
L-A-N-D-O-R?
Yeah, so, and he does about the same types of things that Lippincott and Margo is.
Okay.
And I think he's a little bit on, you know, he's not quite as big as they are.
Logos and trademarks. Yeah.
Right.
And what are her plans? She likes it with Lippincott and
Margolis? Yeah, well, but she will probably, she'll gravitate back to California.
You think she might,
yeah?
She prefers that, yeah. How about your next daughter, Lisa Lynn? How's she?
Well, Lisa? She's going to Oakland Community College. She wants to get into architectural interiors.
Uh-huh.
And so,
Oakland, Michigan?
Yeah, so she's going to Orchard Ridge, and she's going to some other classes in Dearborn, or not Dearborn, Royal Oak. It's another extension of Oakland Community College.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also going taking a couple classes in their North Campus up in Auburn Hills.
Hmm.
So she's trying to get rid of, she's trying to get all of her academics done, and then she'll go to either Lawrence Tech, or she wants to go, I think she wants to go away to school.
Mm-hmm. And what will be her career objective?
To be an architectural interior designer.
Right. Of course, you would encourage her on this.
Yeah, well, you know, she probably isn't as artistic as her older sister.
Uh-huh.
But she
Karen Denise, uh-huh.
Yeah, but she has this Well, she has this thing, this finished, attention to detail type attitude, and
serve her well in that.
Yeah, and I think it really will, because I think it'll mesh quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my son, I don't know what.
Your son is Keith Kanyoshi.
Yeah.
And he's quite young still.
No, he'll be 17 in the next month.
So this is 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, 17. And he's not sure what he wants to do.
No, he's not sure yet.
He's thinking about college. Or doesn't he want to go to college?
No, I don't know. He hasn't really said one way or the other.
You're not going to really push him. You're going to wait and see how it develops.
Yeah, it's just, I have to kind of judge him versus when I was his age. And, you know, he's not really into the drawing.
Isn't he?
You know, in fact, he's not really into that. I don't know if, you know, it might be kind of tough for him to go into this kind of business.
What is, he just doesn't have the temperament that the girls
have? Well, he hasn't really shown the interest. He has the interest, I think, but he doesn't really, I've probably been too pushy anyway.
Have you?
Do
you think? Yeah. They're
going to try. I haven't really tried to push any of the kids towards doing.
The others seem to have gravitated quite naturally.
Yeah.
But Keith said it may well have to be nurtured along and see how it goes. Is he athletically minded?
Well, not really, no. He was into the swimming, skiing and things, and then, of course, it's unfortunate. It just, when the business takes precedence and you just don't have the time.
I know.
And we had a place up in northern Michigan, which we sold, and then after that, we never really...
How about your wife? She's been with you all these years, and with your ups and downs, your triumphs, and your minor tragedies. How's she? Looks like she's quite. You and she are quite compatible.
Well, times that it's.
This is Joyce.
Yeah, she's. She's been a great help. Like in the business and things, and then. You know, the last few years things have been so screwed up that and she has, and she's lost kind of some interest, so now she's going to get back into it, but it's probably going to help.
Helping you with the business, huh?
Yeah, because where I was trying to run the business out of the house, and then work a prototype shop out at a different area, and I'm gone from the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of those answering machines, and nobody likes to talk to an answering machine.
It intimidates people, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I've got, so I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah.
And so if somebody's answer machine answers, I'll talk into it.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a hell of a time here.
The different first?
It's,
so she's going to take a more active hand in the business.
Right. Well, what I'm going to do is, since we're moving, we have to move house also, so.
The whole house?
Yeah, so.
Wow, where are you going?
Well, I've been looking, and right now we look as though we'll be moving into a townhouse.
Great.
And, but there's no room for an office, so. And so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna set up an office down probably towards Livonia. So I'll be close to the prototype shop, and then, but I will have an office for her.
Oh, good.
And she can run the office, and I can spend enough time there and then at the prototype shop so that there's somebody there to answer the phone.
Right. And that'll be the place where you receive your claims?
Yeah.
Well, what's in the future for Larry Shinoda and Shinoda Associates? Obviously, you're still quite a young man, and you don't feel like you want to retire.
No, I've just got to continue to, you know, keep going at it. Well, the one area that we did miss is recently I've done a series of trucks for Miller Brewing Company.
Did you really? Are they on the streets yet?
They're on the streets right now. There's one was just finishing up in one's just finishing up in Washington D.C. and then it'll go to Philadelphia for a week of concerts.
Uh-huh.
And the other truck is in Los Angeles, putting on Hispanic shows all this week.
Oh, really?
And then next week it'll be in Oakland, California.
Can you describe how it's different from the traditional Miller trucks?
Yeah, well, this has a Kenworth, it's a Kenworth tractor. The series is a T600A model.
Uh-huh.
And it's, it looks kind of like an anteater. It's got a very sloped hood.
Wow.
And the fenders look like they're Thunderbird or Mercedes front fenders.
Uh-huh.
And it has all the aerodynamic devices.
Right.
And we've taken that truck.
How'd you sell it to them? Well, they're a fairly traditional company, right?
Yeah, well, they came to me through Roger Penske.
Did they really? Well, they had seen the Penske.
Penske is one of their,
yeah.
It's also one of their sponsors.
Oh, I see, okay.
And then I've met their PR people at some races, yeah.
They had liked that, really progressive.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, so it's a little bit like that, although it's a conventional tractor. It has a nose on it.
Oh, okay.
And they're all painted black. And they're called the Miller Sound Express.
The Miller Sound Express? What does that mean?
Well, what it does, the sides of the trailer open up into a big music stage.
Really?
So they go around and put on music concerts.
That's incredible.
Well, and they put on concerts in all the, most of the, you know, the minority underprivileged areas.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
Of course, at Washington D.C., they're right down. They're right down by the waterfront, and it was a pretty heavily black neighborhood. But they put on a. They had center stage there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were room for three stages, and they had center stage. And I don't know how many thousands of people they'll draw. So. In Los Angeles, so the first show was, they went to a music festival in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and they were there for a week, and then they went out to Los Angeles, and they were out there for about 8 days, and I flew out for the first show. They had a press conference, and well, they had about 180 people for the press conference, and the music group played for about 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty much soul,
right. Uh-huh.
Rock soul, whatever you want
right.
to call it.
Rock soul fusion, yeah, right.
And so then the same truck went to Oakland, and then came back and put on a concert in St. Louis.
Wow.
Right at Ann Howard, right next door to Ann Howard Hauser Bush.
Oh my God. And how'd it go over pretty well?
That went over real well. And then came up to Chicago, was shown to the Miller people in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And then that truck is back, went back to LA for, that's right, that truck went to Chicago, that truck went to Washington, D.C., the second truck we finished, went to L.A. But from Cincinnati to Detroit, one of the drivers wrecked the trailer, or part of it. So they had to go back to the trailer company, get refurbished, and then they had to go to Los Angeles. So now I've got to send a crew of people to San Antonio, Texas. They've got to drive out there because the panels we've got won't fit.
Oh, you've made some, you've fabricate some new panels.
Some new panels, so they're gonna have to drive out there and install the panels and drive back.
What kind of a rig do you have?
Well, we're just gonna go in a pickup truck.
Oh, pickup truck.
Panels are not that large.
You don't have to go.
They're long, no, I probably won't have to go, but.
That's great, that opens up a whole new area for you.
So they're talking, Miller's talking now of ordering another truck. Ordering now so they can have it in September. And then they wanna order seven trucks to start in September to have a. They're talking about seven trucks, so they'll have those at the following spring.
Right, is this pretty much set?
Yeah, I think so, they've got all the money, so. And all the people in the minority group of Miller Brewing are real happy because.
Not bad.
You know, they all said it couldn't be done and, you know, they're all skeptical.
Really?
You know, they're all set out, you know, I was never gonna make my projections.
That's incredible, what chassis did you use?
It's a Kenworth.
You did say Kenworth.
Yeah, it's Kenworth, and then the trailer, the lower part of the trailer is Great Dane. And the upper part of the trailer is a company in Minnesota called Wengers.
Wengers.
It's not listed in there.
You had worked for Great Dane before, hadn't you?
Well, but worked with Great Dane on the Penske truck.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, when it was found out that Penske was behind this thing, then the Great Dane people just jumped through the hoop.
Oh, I see.
So he buys more trailers from Great Dane than any four other customers.
Uh-huh.
In fact, their company used Penske's truck in their annual report.
Did they really?
The parent company of Great Dane.
Which is?
It's I forget the name of it now. It's a big conglomerate.
Conglomerate, yeah. Well, gee, this has opened up this last few years. This Penske connection has opened up a whole new aspect of your design career.
Yeah, in fact, I'm negotiating right now. See, I've been using Burger King as the role model.
Really?
But one of the fellows I did a coach for is his name's Jim Williams.
Uh-huh.
His company, Golden State Foods, they're the distributors for the five Western states for McDonald's.
Uh-huh. Really?
Hamburgers.
Yeah.
And he also owns the distributorship for Rochester, New York, and for Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a lot of trucks, and he buys his trucks from Penske.
That's really.
Or he leases them from Penske.
Uh-huh.
And then he's sponsoring one of Penske's race cars.
And does he need some?
You know,
could they use some refurbishing on their?
No. Well, I've been talking to him about this, the portable.
Oh, I see.
Restaurants, but,
yeah.
But aim them for McDonald's, not for Burger King.
Oh, I see.
But to use a Burger King is, they've done it already. Here's all their figures. And let's take this to McDonald's. So right now I'm doing some artwork that we can take to McDonald's and show them. This is how you do it.
Portable restaurants, of course, why not?
It's portable, well, it's mainly, well, what is, can you imagine if you had one in Ann Arbor?
Right.
It could show up in one location, or maybe two or three locations.
At one dorm or another dorm?
Another dorm, and you could almost, like a roach coach.
Sure.
And then, you have, I guess they're operated, the way they're operated, there's six people in the unit.
Right.
And, you know, and I guess, well, like, I don't think they all switch around, but then there's, you know, so many are in there producing the hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is just walking around with a walkie-talkie on the outside,
right,
taking the orders.
Right.
Yeah. They go pay their money, and walk to the back and pick up the order.
Right.
And so you have portable trash cans that you set out,
mm-hmm,
and the whole thing pulls up and sets up in about 5 minutes.
Right.
And
dispenses
all, stay there half an hour.
Off to another location. What a great idea!
And,
do they seem interested?
Yeah, and then their profit per hamburger, profit per French fry, is it's percentage. It's not just percentage points. It's big points more on return. So they're saying the cost of the vehicle is although it's fairly major, it's the payback is very quick.
If they don't buy it, try to interest Domino's Pizza. You could really have a market with a quick Domino pizza truck.
Well, the other thing is the pizza pizza's probably that's the best return on investment product corner.
Monahan's a multimillionaire by now.
Yeah.
That'd be a great idea because I myself, I don't want to wait 30 minutes. I would take a pizza that would, I could have in 10 minutes or so. If they could perfect a system that could do it quickly, I'm sure they could.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, that.
Oh, it's a great idea. You're on the ground floor on that. There aren't too many people doing that.
No, but it's well, I think I'm on the ground floor is put the thing together so we can build the vehicles.
Sure.
Right. You know.
Let them do the merchandising. You'll provide the vehicle conveyance. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's the business work I want to get in on that the vehicle part of the business and not the maintenance, but the guy that I I haven't even talked to him about it. The one guy that I figured would jump at it if he had half a chance to be Penske.
Uh-huh. Does he want to diversify?
Because, he could real easy.
Sure he could, yeah.
But to spring off into another thing, that's a,
What a great idea.
Yeah, because it...
You got it on paper yet?
Yeah, well, what I'm doing is, I've sketched out the vehicle itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, I'm working around a bread van.
Right.
It's a bread van type thing, but I'm doing it where it's a little bit slicker. It would be kind of like a GM coach, the motor coach type front section.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to look slick when it pulls up. The whole thing is going to look, has to look slick. All the awnings have to open up slick. Everything, it has to look, top class.
Right, yeah.
It's got to catch your eye.
Right, yeah.
The wheels have to be right. Everything's got to be right.
There are no glitches, no jolts. You see the full package. You say that. What a fabulous.
Man, that really looks terrific. And then you can buy your hamburgers out of it. And it pulls up, and the guys come out of it. Well, so what you have to do, you have to make a traveling area right up in front.
Right.
That say basically the all six of them can sit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortably.
Sit comfortably. And
then you'll have the commissary in the back.
Yeah.
Right.
So everything,
it's all contained.
Everything has to kind of lock down in place.
Right, yeah,
and
compact.
And they shut it down, and then
exactly.
You go to the next place. And you get the next place, the power generator goes on, the speaker system comes on, the right music comes out of it, people pour out. That one guy comes out, and they set up, and you're off and running.
It's restaurant theater is what it is.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah.
You might even
combine the two concepts and having just a little bit of entertainment along with the food. Not to distract, but maybe a soundtrack or something.
Yeah, soundtrack or
temporary music. Yeah.
Soundtrack or even, you might even have a movable, one of those message centers.
Exactly.
What's going on, who's playing where, it's almost
the world of sports or something like that.
It's almost a companion vehicle for the Miller machine.
Oh, it is, really. In fact, you should probably sell the same concept to the Miller people.
It sells beer,
Yeah, right, exactly. Beer and hamburgers. What a fabulous idea.
Yeah.
I hope you can pull it all together.
Beer and pizza, you could do a mix where you could...
Pepsi and pizza, Coke and pizza. The ideas are limitless.
Yeah, but you need the vehicle, and if it isn't slick, then it's not going to work.
Right, the vehicle is basic.
See, because Burger King's going at it with the goddamn old Olsen bread van, and it's just a stretch bread van, and it looks like a glorified roach coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you know.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's exciting to the point that Well, sometimes, like my wife will say, well, why do you want to spend this money on this? I say, well, hey, this, look at the return that can be on this. There's other things I spend money on that I don't know. Now, if the presentation, if McDonald's doesn't want to do it, they're negative, real negative, then we'll go somewhere else to sell it.
And don't forget Domino's Pizza. If McDonald's, I think they're right for a new direction.
Yeah, because they're... There are those funny little wing mobiles that were delivering the pizza. That was must have been a bust,
They haven't seen too many men, are they? You could deliver a much better vehicle for them than that. Yeah. All the power would be self-contained?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to plug in anything, right?
No, no.
You got the whole power system that you need, right?
Yeah, the power generator, then, you know, you'd carry the LP gas because, well, of course, well, Burger King's got to have the,
They got to have a charcoal grill.
They got to have a broiler, see?
Yeah.
And, well, broiler's all right, too, but we could probably do it all with an electric grill.
So. So you'd have a generator that would give you refrigeration.
Yeah.
And heat.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning.
The whole works, yeah.
That's fabulous. Now, there's one thing you need. A disposable, a waste disposal. That's what you need. You're going to have to recycle all the waste. You're going to have to take it back.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that you should come up with something. Somebody should come up with something that would recycle it into usable trash. And then you put on the back, Shinoda Associates does not waste any, does not provides recyclable waste, something like that.
Yeah, well, I haven't got there yet, but there's things like that need design attention, and I've got...
The overall design.
Yeah, and it's make it happen. Sure, there's a lot of guys that can design almost anything, but I'm not saying I can, but
you got to be an entrepreneur.
But I'll find the right people to do all the pieces,
sure.
And I've got a place that'll build the chassis.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I've been thinking. I've got a place in Taiwan that can build a whole unit, basically. I could send the power unit there and have them build the chassis part. It comes back. I don't know how good they are on stainless. The whole interior's got to all be done in stainless. It's all got to be stainless on the inside, that whole kitchen module. Or maybe the whole kitchen module slides in. But if it was all built in Taiwan, it's got to be a lot cheaper than trying to make it here.
You going to have sleeping quarters in
these guys? Oh, no.
They're going to live in a local motel while they... Or
yeah, well, these things here would be like like anything else. It's going to be a portable thing. It would dry, go out. Well, yeah, they'd stay in a motel.
You don't want to make it self-contained in the home.
No.
Yeah.
Probably at very most you'd have a john in the thing so that employees could go to the john. It's not going to be
a chemical toilet.
It's chemical toilet. It's not going to be or have a holding tank, but it's not going to be a it'd be a unisex john, which I think is all you need.
Yeah.
But,
and of course you would want some female attendants.
Sure,
female,
yeah. Right.
You want a co-ed operation.
Yeah.
See,
I think it's...
You're right, nowadays. Right?
Yeah, there's...
I live in a college town, and you do live in Europe, and you know that food is important to college students. And towns.
See, because this is what Burger King did.
They did.
They went to University of Miami for lunch.
Yeah.
They went they had one place for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
They went to another place for lunch, mm-hmm. And then they went right after lunch. They went to a beach area. And they parked there for for an hour and a half. They went to a small factory for dinner,
mm-hmm.
And then they went up and parked between two, one place was a singles bar,
right?
In a western place, down near the beach. And they parked in between the two, and they stayed there for 3 hours, But I guess a 10-hour stretch. In the 10 hours, they ran out of. The first time they ran out before dinner, so they had to go, they restocked. But so they worked it out. They restocked. Breakfast was the first blast, and they had all the lunch stuff already on board.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out. I mean, it worked out real well. And then, their first test was that they did so damn well.
Why don't you approach them and tell them that their vehicles need to be redesigned?
Yeah, that's what I figured I would do. But I figured if I have a better chance with this Jim Williams and the McDonald's thing, it'd be better to get number one than to get number two.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Or you can get number one and number two, that's even better, yeah.
What a great idea. Well, gee, that's delightful to hear that that you're embarking on a new direction and pretty much of your own device.
Yeah, well, it's a case in point. Whatever's a good idea, it's a good idea, no matter where it's, whose it's from, and it's and that's where, the not invented here attitude. Right? You're eventually going to lose.
So that would be your message to young designers.
Okay, it's going to be a good experience for them to work at a Ford Motor Company, work Chrysler, work at General Motors, and they're all going to find out that if they have any gumption, they have any get up and go, that's not the end of the line.
Right.
Sure, but I would advise them, if they can get a job there, fine, go there, and then realize that your limits are you're going to be very limited. And there's other, there's a whole new other world out there that they could get involved in. There's a lot of excitement.
Don't take the easy way. Don't take the safe way. Try to be innovative and creative and take a chance now.
Yeah, you'd have to take a chance. I mean, it's a case in point. Sure, I could have stayed at Ford and been at Ford all these years. There's a fellow at Ford, he's probably ready to retire, named Paul Wong.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what he's done, in all these years, but I know he hasn't had that much fun. He may be a lot more, financially set than I am, and have a hell of a lot more money, but I've done a whole hell of a lot of things.
And you're still doing.
And I'm still, doing more, and I'm not ready to quit.
That's great. Well, thank you, Larry Shinoda. That was delightful. And thank you for the interview.